Welcome to Flower Farmer Forum, the podcast where growing and selling cut flowers isn't just a dream, it's a reality. With over 100,000 downloads, this is your go-to spot for everything you need to know about turning blooms into bucks. Whether you're looking for a little bit of extra cash or dreaming of scaling up to a full-fledged flower empire, we've got you covered. I'm your host, Liz Fidler, owner and operator of Sunny Mary Meadow Flower Farm in Minnesota. In just 5 years, I went from modest beginnings with $7,000 in sales to flourishing $200,000 operation, and I'm here to tell you it's absolutely possible. But remember, peddling perishable products requires careful planning and thoughtful intention. So let's roll up our sleeves and dive in. Ready to bloom and grow? Let's get started. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler-Mergen, and today we're going to talk about lessons from wedding expos and adding weddings to your farm's revenue. Now, I understand that some of you might say, I'm going to shut this off. I'm not going to listen to it. It's not helpful to me. I don't ever plan on adding weddings. But what I want to say, first of all, is never say never. You could be very successful in adding revenue to your farm with a la carte in-season bouquets. And the lessons that I learned at these expos in marketing myself, selling myself, can definitely be carried over to other parts of your business. And I encourage you to just remain curious. So thank you so much for listening. And I do want to point out that we do have an online course on Sunny Mary Meadow Coaching. If you click on workshops, last year we hosted Farmer Florist Boot Camp. And my friend Jenny, who has done like 2,000 weddings over the course of the last 25 years, she did bouquet lessons on how to make bouquets, boutonnieres, corsages, other personal pieces. And those are slowed down and we teach you how to do all of that. So that's the virtual version is online on that course if you're looking for a way to hone in on those skills. And we will be hosting it again next year in person, continue building on that. But if you are listening, I always forget to talk about my courses. So there you go. But first of all, why did I attend these wedding expos? I signed up for one in St. Cloud last weekend and then one at Crooked Willow. It's a wedding venue about 50 minutes away. Now, I'm located just outside of St. Cloud, Minnesota. And there's probably 30 places to get married within an hour, which is a ton. But there's also, if you drive an hour away, the Twin Cities metro area is obviously a bountiful, unlimited resource of places to get married. And then another hour north is the Brainerd Lakes area. And then an hour northeast is the Alexandria Lakes area. And I have chosen to really focus on the Alexandria Lakes area because we bought a cabin up there for a Vrbo, VRBO, and short-term rental place, and ultimately manifesting goals that I want eventually. If we have a ton of weddings in the summer in that area, then I can justify just staying there myself and not renting it out. For now, we definitely need to rent it out. We can afford the mortgage on it, but that would definitely be a ton of sacrifices personally that, you know, there'd be no going out to eat and fun things like that because that would take up all of our fun money. So again, just manifesting the business that you want. So that's where I'm starting to really try to get my name out is up in the Alexandria area along with obviously the St. Cloud area. So these wedding expos are honestly a ton of networking opportunities, getting to know other vendors, the venues, the planners, building those collaborations that can lead to mutual advertising. So they really do benefit from showcasing my locally grown seasonal flowers. They're pretty to look at. They're aesthetically pleasing. And ultimately, these venue owners, they're not dumb. They see that I have 6,100 followers on Instagram, mostly local, and they realize that I'm going to tag them. I'm going to collaborate with them on a post. It's going to get more brides seeing that. And it's just a good way to really have that advertising. And these expos were about getting in front of brides, but just as much as getting in front of the brides, it's also meeting other vendors and they can see my pretty work. They can see how, you know, I get along, how, you know, get to know my personality, and then maybe they will recommend someone. Whether you're doing weddings or any other type of floral event or sales, where do your customers shop? So if you're trying to put your bouquets in a coffee shop or a boutique or whatever, if your target customer shops there, that is great marketing. So my high touch point is who also talks to these brides, and it's getting to know the makeup artists, getting to know the photographers, all of those things, because they're going to recommend me. So the other thing is obviously exposure to a new market, and I can reach brides and couples directly. And so I can position myself as a unique alternative and show them that, hey, these bouquets, these flowers are all bought wholesale because it is January. However, I picked flowers that we also mostly grow. Obviously, the roses and some of the greens are your staple. Is it staple or stable? I don't know. Anyway, they are your like tried and true foundational wedding pieces to give it that elegant look. But I share, if you like these stock, you're gonna love my stock. If you like these ranunculus, you're gonna love my ranunculus, et cetera. I tried to really focus on, I did a lot of white. That's just really in right now, at least in central Minnesota. I also had a lot of like foam core boards that are basically like a 24 by 30 photos of my bouquet samples. And each one of those had maybe 6 to 9 photos on them of bouquets that we've done. And so those were a lot more fall colors, spring colors, whatever. And so when the bride would tell me her date, she said, "Yeah, I'm getting married in September." I pointed at the board and I said, "That's what I can make on my farm in September." And I pointed to like the Cafe Au Lait dahlias or the other dahlias. And I'm like, "That's what's in season." And then I pointed and I said, "There's a couple roses on there. There's a couple imported things, but 85% of the flowers in those photos were grown either right on my farm or purchased from a farmer close by." And that usually, and I explain we're able to get those. And then when they say, "Okay, we're getting married in June," and then I show them a really pretty June bouquet that I have with coral peonies and bubblegum pink ranunculus and bright blue delphinium and orange tulips that still held over in my cooler. And it's just absolute rainbow, beautiful, vibrant. I brought like a pastel meadow piece to show them a little bit more pastel colors. And then, of course, I had the white tried and true classics. And then I had like a blush romantic color bouquet. And so just showing them that we can make whatever and we can figure out what you like and really just explaining what is different about ours. So I also learned, there's a lot of challenges and hidden details in wedding work. And that's because there's so much back and forth nature of weddings. And so I really used that opportunity to manage the client expectations and understanding that communication process. And so I was just upfront with the availability and the flower seasonality. If they are asking me, "Well, I really want peonies and they're getting married in September," I'm like, "Well, yep, we don't have peonies, but we'll have really big dahlias, or we would have, Lisianthus, stuff like that. We can get peonies, but it's going to be really expensive." There's definitely some challenges with the out of season wedding expos. So working with imported flowers while staying true to your brand. So, like I said, I'm really strategically using those large photos of my seasonal bouquets, those dahlias, those peonies. And I've said over and over again, if you love these flowers, you will love them in the right season. And so just trying to explain how that's going to work. We're going to do a quick break from this episode, and I want to give a shout out to my employee of the month, QuickBooks. I know it can be so overwhelming to get started, but honestly, the sooner you create your own system for your bookwork, the sooner you will get your time back. I used to spend 10 to 20 hours every quarter because in Minnesota, it depends on what your sales volume is, and I fall in the category of quarterly sales tax. So it never failed. Every 3 months, I would go down this rabbit hole of trying to gather everything from my website, the different point of sale that I do in person, people would pay checks, and just trying to reconcile it all. So now every month, I spend 1 hour reconciling my bank account with those systems that automatically feed in. And then when it's time to submit my sales tax, it takes me about 5 minutes, saving me literally dozens of hours every month. So yes, you pay a monthly fee for QuickBooks, but trust me, even if I only value my time at $10 an hour, it is still way worth it. Head to the episode notes and click on the link there, and you will get 30% off for 6 months with my exclusive code. Be sure to use the code rather than just going to the regular website, because this is going to give you that 30% off for 6 months. I cannot recommend QuickBooks enough. Let's get back to the episode. I also had a download PDF. If you go on my website, not my coaching website, but my farm website. So my coaching website is sunnymarymeadowcoaching.com, and that's all the resources for flower farmers. And then my farm website is sunnymarymeadow.com. So if you go there, click on weddings, there is a bridal blooms 101 download, and it's really just informational. And so that's what brides get. And then I collect their email addresses at the same time, which is perfect. And I have a QR code for that link that they can just get it. And I say, you know what, just see what you like, see what color palette you like. It's got sample pricing on there. They can just kind of get a good idea of, you know, at the very beginning of that download, it talks about who gets what flowers. And so it says, you know, before you meet with your florist, make a list of what you need. How many bridesmaids? How many boutonnieres? Who usually gets a boutonniere? Are you going to do them for the ushers? Are you going to do them for grandpa? Are you going to do a wrist corsage for grandma? You know, just all of these things to get that list so that they can kind of get a good idea, because people have, they have no clue. They come to me and they're like, I mean, I met with a bride last night and she's like, I want it to be pretty. I want it to be a lot of flowers. My budget is $4,000. Is that even realistic? And the thing is, she's having 330 guests at her wedding. And so we figured 42 tables, and she's got 9 bridesmaids, and she wants boutonnieres for everyone, wrist corsages for everyone. And I explained to her, I'm like, yes, $4,000 is a very respectable budget for wedding flowers, but it's not going to be massive, elaborate pieces on every single table. Now, why don't we tastefully pick out a third of the tables to do, you know, a really pretty compote, and then put bud vases on the other ones? Or let's, you know, how do we work within that? But then they understand that if I say, you know, think about it per table, if your budget per table is $40, go to your local floral shop, or even, you know, Coburn's, Cashwise, Hy-Vee, whatever grocery store you're at, and look in the floral department and see what $40 gets you. It doesn't magically get you this massive bouquet just because it's a wedding or massive arrangement. And so I think that just really helps, because buying flowers is not something the typical mid-20s girl has a lot of experience with, right? And so just understanding like how that works, and just being really, really helpful of not selling myself to them, but just a wedding flowers 101. And then they really understand that. The first wedding expo that I did, like I said, it was 2 weekends in a row. The first one that I did, for whatever reason, I mean, it was really cold that day. It was like the first really cold day of the year. There were like no dads there. And I really want to figure out how the second one got the dads to get there. And I think it was because they did a VIP panel at the beginning that you could buy extra tickets. And it was like planning a wedding 101. And I think a lot of the dads that are paying for the wedding or helping pay for the wedding were there. And so I actually got a chance to speak with a lot of the bride's dads, and they were standing there like just making sure that their daughter is not getting sold on something crazy. And I think they really appreciated my transparency as I explained my process. And, you know, I said, if your budget is $1,500, for example, why don't you just do personal flowers, bride, bridesmaids, boutonnieres, whatever. And then I pointed to, you know, if they have 4, 5, 6 bridesmaids. And then I pointed to one of the metal pieces underneath a welcome sign. And I said, you can get something like that for around $300, because we price it all by the foot. And again, I teach all of that. We teach that on our Farmer Florist Boot Camp, in person or virtual conference. Anyway, I said, we price it by square foot, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, if you have $300 left in your budget, you can have a really impactful welcome piece right when you walk in, a big floral arrangement for everyone to see. Or, you know, if you divide it all over the tables, 300 divided by, you know, that bride that has 42 tables, you divide that 300 by 42, that's $7 a table. I cannot do anything for $7 a table. I can't even do a bud vase on each table for $7 a table. And so I'm like, you know what, just skip the flowers on the table, put some candles, put whatever it is that you want to put, and then just have a bigger welcome piece. Or if it's important to you to have something else. But we just kind of explained how it all works, and just really informative. That was the approach that I decided to take, because they don't know anything about wedding flowers. These brides are brand new. They don't know what they want. They don't know what they need. And so just, I really tried to position myself as an informative resource, just educating them on wedding flowers in general, the difference between what I can offer versus, you know, a traditional florist. And then I also explained, I had 3 sample bridal bouquets at each venue, and then I made pieces that I want to make. So pieces that transport fairly easily, because I don't want to do a ton of delivery and setup. So when you're at these places, make something that you want to sell a lot of. Make something that you think is going to be in the budget of that person's target budget. So I had three different bridal bouquets, and they would literally say, "How much does this cost? How much does this cost?" And I would explain, "My bridal bouquets are $225. We have a lot of different ingredients in them, and if you are getting your flowers from somewhere else, I don't have any mums, carnations, lower value flowers in them. That's just not the work that I do. These are all a variety of textures and colors, and that's the difference." And I explain, if you want just one bouquet during in season, I can totally do that as long as it's in season and we can still have it customizable for a la carte. But typically, if you go to a traditional florist, everything is in quantities of 10. And so if you have 15 different stems and maybe three of each or whatever, that florist is going to have to buy $300 worth of flowers wholesale just to make that one bouquet. And then what do they do with the rest of them? And so I'm able to accommodate those orders a little bit differently, but make sure that you are not bashing other florists, bashing other business models, but just highlight what you can do differently and what those gaps are and how you positively can meet that need or solve that problem and why you can do it at the price point that you can, basically. Now, wedding seasonality in Minnesota it's very unique. So typically, no one really gets married Memorial weekend because everyone's camping, blah, 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 blah. So like the weekend after Memorial weekend through the end of June is so busy. And then very few people get married like 4th of July weekend throughout July. July is just vacation weekend. It's so hot. It's so humid. It's so light outside. It's whatever. But then early August through end of October, it's super busy. So then I kind of focus on growing those flowers that are going to meet that. And I explain that my tulips, my ranunculus, my anemones, my hardy annuals. I've got a third high tunnel now with heaters on it because I just got a NRCS grant. So I'm going to be able to grow a lot of flowers, have them ready for late May, early June, hold them all over in my coolers. I'm now going to have two coolers between my floral shop and my existing cooler that I have now. So that's going to be really helpful because the one that I have now is going to be for peonies and tulips, and we will not be in and out constantly. And the other one will be kept more like mid 40 degrees that we're in and out of constantly, but that's okay. And so then, early summer, June, I will have a lot of peonies, snapdragons, bupleurum, orlia. And then flushing it out to early August, I'm really focusing just on the cut and come again, early blooming dahlias, because again, I'm in zone 4B, Minnesota, lisianthus. I'll get that second flush of snapdragons that usually happens early September, scabiosa, jewels of opar, kind of those unique touches that I can add. And then I'm just really trying to use this off season wisely. So these January expos are a great time to just promote future availability, network, get to know people, meet with those brides. But if you are going to sign up for a wedding expo, make sure you prepare your authentic displays. So focus on what you can truly deliver during wedding season. So showcase large, impactful photos of past seasonal work so that they can see, hey, this is what a dahlia bouquet looks like in September. And so really get photos of those things versus, the imported flowers. If it's not tried and true to what you can do in the summer, make sure that you get Bells of Ireland, stock, scabiosa. All of those things can be bought wholesale. And so really focus on those things that you grow anyway. And then if you have to supplement with roses or whatever, if you're not going to be willing to do that in the summer, then maybe get some mums that you can grow for the fall or whatever it might be. Just try to have it be a true reflection of what you can offer. Make sure you're building relationships with those vendors. So take the time to visit the other venues, introduce yourself, show vendors how collaborating with you will benefit them. So just highlight the value of having beautifully locally sourced flowers at their venues, how other brides are going to be happy with how their venue looks, how it's going to look nicer, and then just leverage your existing audience. So use your social media following, flower subscriptions, establish that credibility, and collaborate on social media to extend that content and expand both your audience and theirs. I do think if you are on the fence about adding weddings to your revenue stream, know that they are worth it. They are a great way to add income without needing a major crop overhaul. And they do allow for creative use of what's already growing on the farm. But what I really want you to watch out for is the fact that the time commitment for consultations, communications is, it's huge. And having a clear contract, managing those expectations, all of that is huge. Again, we cover that in my Farmer Florist Bootcamp, but just make sure that you're not like practicing on the people. Stay tuned for other opportunities for when those bootcamps happen. So all in all, my big key takeaways from doing these wedding expos are just focus on authenticity, build those relationships, try to stay strategic with your displays, make sure that they are true to what you can make in the summertime. But ultimately, my approach was that I need to be able to be myself. If I can't be my authentic self, which is pretty laid back, pretty fun, pretty chatty, you know, ask them about how'd you get engaged, da 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 da. If I can't be myself, if I have to be this like rigid professional, walking on eggshells, like, please buy my stuff. And I want to show you that I am so professional. Like, my flowers are fun. It should be a fun part of your wedding planning. So much of wedding planning is stressful. I want the flower part to be fun. And if I'm not getting booked by being my authentic self, then I don't want to do this anymore. It is not going to work for me if I can't truly be myself. And some of the brides, I can tell that I'm too much for them. What I offer is too much. It's too many choices. It's too many things, but really it's a simple process. But finding that right person that you're right for, it's, you know, you're not going to be for everyone, and I can't do them all. And not everyone's going to be within my budget. Not everyone is going to be, you know, want the a la carte or whatever it might be. But yeah, just stay tuned. We have a lot of big plans for 2025. If you are part of the Private PPP podcast, you will know a little bit more of what's going on, but I have a public hearing for the County Planning Commission on January 23rd for my conditional use permit to continue expanding my business and my building. And I'm just really nervous for that. And, you know, I just don't like restrictions, all those things, but it's going to be a big part of my expansion plan for 2025. And thank you so much for listening. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum. If you enjoyed today's show and want to dive deeper into the world of growing and selling cut flowers, be sure to check out our website. There you'll find every episode in written blog form, plus courses and one-to-one coaching options to help you on your flower farming journey. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Flower Farmer Forum and join our Facebook page to connect with other passionate listeners and flower enthusiasts. If you're local and want to see what we're up to, visit us at sunnymarymeadow.com or find us on Instagram and Facebook at Sunny Mary Meadow for my flower farm. We'd love your support. Please leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend who might find it fantastic. Until next time, keep growing, keep blooming, and keep making your flower farm dreams a reality.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. SunnyMaryMeadow.com.